Audit Committee for May 2nd, 2017. And we have an informational meeting that we're going to start with following up on the discussion that we had on the audit review forms and criteria. And they've been given to you. I know they're online. And we talked about basically trying to have some committee rules that we would basically use to decide on audits that we suggest to the Secretary of State and audits that we think are important to possibly have done by other staff or by this committee. And I would like to ask if there's any questions, comments, or thoughts about either the review forms or the criteria.
Madam Chair, you will note that the ones online have been updated for the discussion at the last meeting, so it now starts out talking about each member of the Legislative Assembly may submit up to 3 items each biennium.
Oh, so, I don't have that.
So they're online, and but they have been updated for that. Okay. So
I think the goal was that if we feel these are workable, and on the form, for example, you just said that if you wanted to suggest an audit, you'd have to go to a legislator, and it tells the amount of suggestions that each legislator could make. And so it basically just gives a little bit of a process, criteria, a few sideboards.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I think also, since our discussions of that and the changes to them, I do think it's actually, this doesn't literally, I think we'll need to approve these, obviously, either at this meeting or the next meeting. But I think it's a very good start. It's the first time we've actually done this, and probably the first time we would actually solicit from members would be prior probably to the 18 session.
Right.
So I think it's, they don't have to be perfect today or even in a week, two weeks from today. But it's the first time we've attempted to do this. So
So maybe if you don't have suggestions today, that if you do, you could send those to Teresa, and then maybe we could talk about them a little bit and try to make it a goal that we will approve them at some point.
Yeah, in the next meeting in 2 weeks. So.
Okay. Any comments or thoughts?
And Madam Chair, at your direction, just for the committee's reference, the other thing we will then be working on are 2 additional pieces. One is to carve out some space directly on the LFO website at this point, but to create a website presence for the information so it's easier to find than it currently is. And the other part will be to start creating a database for suggestions that come in so that it'll be in an easy format for everybody to review. So at the next meeting, I can probably bring a template for that.
All right. The second piece of information we were going to discuss today was the committee really looking at the suggested audit topics that we have. And I believe our staff was going to run us through that.
Absolutely. Madam Chair, members of the committee. So in terms of, again, this is on your attached meeting materials. So the list that's there is basically the list from last time, but in somewhat of an order. I did notice one that needs to be moved, but bottom line, after meeting with everybody, we had actually 6, you'll see 5 there, but there was a 6th potential subjects for Secretary of State audit. Those are the audit related to Department of Education and grant and aim programs, focusing on the siloing of funds and whether there's ways to reduce some of those restrictions in a way that still there's accountability but makes it less of an administrative burden and better meets the missions of the agency. The Department of Revenue, and I'm going to talk a little more about that one because while you have on here what we had talked about, which was customer service satisfaction and engagement, the complaint process, and employee engagement, a letter was received by the co-chairs from the Subcommittee on General Government of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means regarding a request to JLAC to consider an audit, requesting the Secretary of State to do an audit on the Department of Revenue. And while it includes all of the items you have here, it also suggests making sure, which they do annually anyway, but including financial audits and, again, looking at the IT functions as well, which actually is under audit. So there is some background material on the web, on our meeting materials as well, so you can see what General government suggested. Then we had the statewide transit system safety, both for the system staff and customers, the election process, testing the process for weaknesses, equal pay within Oregon state government, and then the one that should have been up above that ended up being below was procurement, exemptions from using DAS, and are we using best practices related to procurement. So right now, those are the ones, after meeting with everybody, that are kind of on the list. I will say that the two that seemed to be had a lot of consensus were the first two, the Department of Education, the Department of Revenue items, although nobody had an objection to any of the others really as well. If you want to talk about whether any others should be moved up, I can let you talk about those, and then we can talk about the other assignments potentially for the other items.
Co-Chair Devlin.
Madam Chair, I think one of the things we're really trying to concentrate on is to get no more than maybe three or four requests to the Secretary of State. And so there seemed to be pretty much agreement on the education and the revenue. I think we're looking for which would be the third, actually. And there's some of those that are in third or fourth that we could possibly do internally. I mean, we wouldn't be doing an audit, but we would be reviewing some of the data that might be available to us. It wouldn't be a true audit. But I might want to highlight for the committee, because the issue in general government with the Department of Revenue, I'm not saying that the issues are not resolvable, but if you look at the memo, there have been some things coming forward in that subcommittee that are pretty concerning. Not that people that actually come in contact with the Department of Revenue are going to always like the contact that they have, just because of the nature of the work of the Department of Revenue. But their customer satisfaction number has gone down from about 78% to now 13%. Customer complaints are up 180% in just 1 year. Employee engagement is down. And what people review as effective taxpayer assistance is barely above what most people would refer to as mediocre. And so I think the general government subcommittee is very concerned about the Department of Revenue. We don't believe that the issues cannot be resolved in any way, but we think it's very important that we actually get ahead of this issue at this time, and I think both of the co-chairs of Ways and Means have had extensive discussions on this with the subcommittee chairs. So,
other comments or thoughts on this? Yes, Representative Nathanson.
Oh, should I just jump?
No. Go.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to concur with my co-chair, Senator Devlin, about our conversations and concerns. There are other audits that have been done at the Department of Revenue, and I think there is concern that some of those have also not resulted in sufficient kind of improvements. And I don't know whether that could be addressed or this would be limited to this one only.
Mm-hmm. I think we can give direction. If we decide to follow the rules that we've looked at, we really were, you know, we have a form that basically allows us to give some direction, too, so that there could be some of those issues put on there, I would think. Yeah. Other comments or thoughts about these topics?
And one other thing, Madam Chair.
Yes.
I think a part of our debate's going to be, maybe not today, but maybe in our future committee meeting, probably between a third out of it, either state transit safety or equal pay. But one of those actually could be an internal review that we have. We've actually thought that because of a number of the Secretary of State's statements, that the other one, elections processed, testing the process for weaknesses, Secretary of State has said a number of times that he is intending to take action in that area, so I don't think he needs literally a lot
prodding,
of prompting.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Right. A question on the state transit system: are we talking about, for example, TriMet and other, you know, regional?
That one, the When folks brought that one to me, what they talked to me about was the idea that there are safety issues that need to be addressed for both drivers and passengers. One of the examples they gave was actually, you know, a light rail type train, which basically, you know, they have to be on time and they're pushed to be on schedule. And yet sometimes there are certain things happening where they feel like they should be moving a little slower. And so they gave some examples like that for drivers. There are some bills out there talking about driver safety as far as, you know, interaction between between drivers and the actual passengers. And they also were talking about just the fact that you have so many people in one place and you've got earthquake preparedness and other resiliency, you know, types of issues that have we really looked at our systems to make sure that you're going to try and be as safe as possible in the operation of that system during some kind of an emergency. So those are the things that were mentioned to me.
Well, my follow-up to that was, what's the state's, specifically the Secretary of State's ability to get into those records? I mean, is that within their purview?
TriMet is a state agency.
Yeah, it is a state agency.
And all those other transit districts.
Well, Lane Transit, for instance, is not a state agency. I think I'm right about that.
Sorry. I mean, Lane is not.
So that would be more difficult.
So it would be mostly aimed at TriMet.
Mm-hmm. TriMet is the one
state-wise,
we could certainly.
Okay.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
You could ask the others. I mean, this might be one better done internally in some ways to review this. TriMet, obviously, the appointments to the TriMet board are confirmed by the legislature, so it is actually a state agency.
Right.
But the others would be the Lane Transit District, the Salem Transit District here, the Rogue Transit District, mm-hmm. Just basically anybody that has a larger established. And we could ask for, you know, voluntary information from them. Or
sure.
They're always coming to us with requests for funding, even if they are not state entities. So,
Madam Chair, members of the committee, that would also be, I know the Secretary of State's audits has more authority to look beyond the state in particular. Having said that, I don't know really how much they have there. And again, I think the Secretary of State is planning to actually want to come back and meet with this committee to make sure we flush out what is doable, what makes sense as we go forward. So if that was something you'd want them to consider, you could still send that there, and then they can take a look and see if that makes sense and be able to come back and talk to the committee about what
I see nods
might
in
be
the
done.
Audience.
Yeah. Thank you.
Representative Whitsett.
Wisnet.
Did I say
they're gone.
I've
been a lot longer than they were over here.
Okay. Leanne sat next to me, sorry.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair, Co-Chair. When Teresa and I talked yesterday and the conversation about the transit, the Marquis represent, they talked to me, too, about trying to be sure we look at that. But the election process, Mrs. McEwen said that we would probably recommend to the Secretary of State that the election, if we do that one, that be contracted to not do the audit themselves. Mm-hmm. Since you're looking at something that's under their preview, mm-hmm. That'd be a note to the recommendation. And I have some great things below the line there, but I'm sure that Senator Devlin's going to help me with.
Yes.
So I'm probably the one who is most interested in the procurement issue. And we have a lot of agencies we have several agencies that do their own procurement. And I'm concerned not that they're doing them, but is it okay? And one of the main reason I'm looking at this is because we're thinking about the IT procurements and where should those be done. Mm-hmm. And so if we looked at all those, you know, assigned out mm-hmm. procurement areas and see how they're working, whether that makes sense or not.
Okay. Yes. Let me say this correctly. Representative Wisnet.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. McLean, not the
okay.
EAN.
Yeah.
Teresa and I talked briefly yesterday, too, about Senator Raleigh's comments. I've been concerned since I've been in the building about too many agencies have procurement authority and contracting authority that I would like to really centralize as much as possible in DAS and have expertise in that office in contracting. I won't tell the story I told her about, but I think there's a lot of agencies that have contracting authority and procurement authority that they should not have. Military background. We had a separate agency that did all the contracting to be sure that, you know, in the contract, the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. So there's been a couple examples I've learned or had since I've been in the building that I said, why did you do that? And we always,
I agree.
A contract is no better than the person that writes it. If you don't write a good contract and have a great professional writing it, you can have problems. Mm-hmm. I don't know how other states do that. If other states centralize procurement or they don't.
There's a mix.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a big, yeah. Yeah, some are all out in the agencies, some none are in the agencies, and some are like we are.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair.
Yes.
By my comment, and maybe if Teresa could comment if she hasn't already. Sorry, I had to go out and give the quorum to a committee so they could start. But the equal pay within Oregon state government, the discussions behind the scenes with that has been that obviously you would probably have to select several state agencies to look at. Mm-hmm. I think Teresa suggested that we talk to the Secretary of State if we go ahead with this in selecting at least one very large and a medium-sized agency and a smaller agency, but not a very, very small agency. I mean, you have to have enough employees that you can see a pattern. And so it would be a much bigger task to actually do this for all of state government. Mm-hmm. But I think if you came up with sort of three sample agencies to at least to do a preliminary audit on, it probably would be worthwhile. Particularly given what some discussions are in the building and will mm-hmm. be in the building in the future. So,
yep. Well, with the comments that have been made today, do we want to put this back on the agenda then for the next meeting as far as making suggestions?
Yeah.
Do you think that's too quick, too long? Is that okay?
It's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and Madam
yes.
Chair?
Yes, Senator.
Madam Chair, I think we can do that, but I think in 2 weeks we should, because we've pushed out this date very long from where the Secretary of State originally envisioned this. We should be making a decision at the next one about how many of these to forward, with a general idea that if we actually forward two or three, there's a good chance probably the Secretary of State will do the two or three. If we forward five or six, there's probably a good chance the Secretary of State may do two or three.
Two or three, yeah.
So,
depending on whether they like them or not.
Yeah.
And other criteria, of course.
Yeah.
Representative.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Since we don't meet that often, and since we need to move something to get this on the road, I would suggest to the co-chairs that we ask Teresa to use our new form or whatever, and go ahead and do the top three or something so we could look at the form and everything. If we have to wait, if we have to wait to decide, at least try to put it in the form that we've agreed to and see if that works.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, what I was going to suggest is something like that, perhaps also starting to delve into what questions we would want asked. So if people have specific questions, as you talked about with a couple of these, if you could forward those to me, then maybe we could at least start getting this a little more detailed and be able to, at least on a preliminary basis, share that with the Secretary of State audits folks so they can kind of be looking at it as well and give us some feedback of whether or not this is something that's even doable, so that we kind of at least maybe shorten the time frame overall, if that works for the committee.
Yeah.
Okay. And with that, I would assume, and they're here, so they can hear that likely the Department of Education, the Department of Revenue, is going to be on that list. So we at least maybe could start having some preliminary conversations about if there's any feedback you want us to look at in the next couple of weeks on those.
Do we want to just decide on the third? It sounds like we've got two that mm-hmm. we're pretty much in agreement with.
Does somebody want to suggest one for the third?
Well, there are two of us at least who are interested in procurements.
So I think maybe it would be best to, because I think we can wait 2 weeks.
I think we can as well.
So we go forward with the two, and then we've heard discussions of three more beyond that.
Okay. Though.
And then we settle on either one more of those or two more of those or three more of those at the next meeting. But we get to a final decision at the next meeting. So
the three others were that I heard were procurement, equal pay, and then the transportation safety?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, may I make a
comment? Please.
Thank you, Madam Kutcher. I've been doing education for at least 12 years in the building. And I'm on the subcommittee for education, which I've been on before, but I didn't realize that the Oregon grants, you know, we got a federal grants, and we should probably specify here, I think, Oregon grants. I didn't realize the Oregon grants come out of the general fund or the school state fund. So when we're making the decision, it comes off the top.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, yes and no. Some do, some don't. But they're all general fund. Yeah. The ones that are state.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're used to saying federal funds, so it's free money, but which is not. But anyway, so I think that there's a lot to look into there, and we need, I think the subcommittee chairs and members of Ways and Means need to look more at those grants programs. What you're doing is you're taking away from classroom money. You're taking to do these grants and these programs, you're taking it out of the classroom. Not, you know, and you don't get it all. You know, mm-hmm. it gets diverted or, mm-hmm. or reshuffled. But I didn't realize that to this. I thought it was grant money. I mean, it's free. It's out of the general fund or the state school fund. So I don't know. When you do your questioning, Teresa, mm-hmm. if you could.
So are there any other comments that we'd like to give staff as far as what she's agreed to bring back? And Teresa, did you have any questions of us? Or
I think I know my job.
Thank you.
For the next weeks. Great.
Well, at this time, I believe we have a new director in the audience. And so we would love to have you come up to the dais and introduce yourself. And we're going to have you pronounce your name first so I don't manage to mispronounce that.
It's Wisnant.
Yeah. I won't say the wrong one again. So.
So for the record, my name is Leslie Cummings, co-chair McLean and co-chair Devlin and members of the committee. I'm the Deputy Secretary of State, and I'm very excited to introduce our new audits manager, Kim Mehmet. He has more than 20 years of auditing, consulting, and policy analysis experience at the federal, state, local government, and private industry. He was the chief executive for Oregon State Treasury, which we stole him from, and we're so excited we got him. Director of Audit Services for City and County of Arizona's office, and the Auditor General, Office of the Auditor General, and as senior consultant with KPMG, and a senior consultant with KPMG. His professional audit career path has shined brightly since he first started. He was an intern for the Government Accountability Office. He gave distinguished service in a state legislative chamber and has substantial experience working with legislative processes, elected officials. He has directed the execution and issuance of high-impact government performance audits throughout his career, and those audits have had substantial impacts for improving quality government. He holds a bachelor's degree from the University of Utah and master's of arts degree with a certificate in public history from Arizona State University. He's a graduate from Harvard's University Kennedy School of Government, executives in state and local government education program, and he's certified government auditing professional. He also attained his certified risk management assurance credential, and he currently serves on the Institute of Internal Auditors American Center for Government Auditing. He has been formally recognized many times, and right now we've asked Kip to initially address our current program for improvement opportunities and to also focus on how the program can better support the legislative concerns and needs and provide more timely information. So thank you. We're really excited to have Kip Mehmet aboard.
Well, thank you very much and welcome.
Thank you, Co-Chair Devlin, Co-Chair McLean, members of the committee. Honored to be here today. For the record, my name is Kip Mehmet. I am the new audit director for this Oregon Secretary of State's office. Honored to be here in Oregon. As you heard from that great bio, I've bounced around the Western United States by design and enjoyed every one of those places I've lived in. But we are here to put roots. Displacing a family once is enough. And so we've done that, and just very pleased to be in a great state of Oregon. And I'm, by training, actually a U.S. historian. I'm a little bit of an odd fit in the auditor world, which has kind of, I think, given me an edge in kind of seeing things a little bit differently throughout my career. There's been very few months in my life I haven't had a book about U.S. history on my nightstand, so I'm still a zealot U.S. history guy. What I want to relay to you in a couple minutes, because I know you got to rush off to other committees and all that stuff, is the most important thing that resonates with me in terms of audit work is impact. Mm-hmm. You know, auditing is not a great profession if you don't have impact. In fact, you know, I speak a little bit nationally to auditors usually, and I ask by raise of hands, you know, who of you grew up to be a government auditor? None. I've never seen one. So it's kind of an eclectic thing, but it's a really noble profession. It is one of the places I believe in government. You know, I kind of talk about this kind of three-legged stool we have out there where we have, you know, a lot of partisanship. I know you guys wouldn't know anything about that, but we have this thing called partisanship. We have a lot of information out there, most of which is biased or at least hard to funnel through and understand what's objective. And then we have these huge public pressing public policy issues, homelessness, healthcare, these things that need to be solved. And for me, audit is one of the areas where it's not partisan. We have professional standards. I worked for both Republicans and Democrats as their audit director, so I know where the line starts and ends with that. But it's also about being relevant, and if you're not responsive to decision makers, then you're not going to have the impact. And I've been so pleased to hear the JLAC, and I've worked with other JLACs in other states, and to hear this one being active and suggesting audit suggestions. Those were great suggestions without being committal, but those are really great audit ideas that you guys came up with. We love the idea. I'm so pleased that the secretary wants to interact and be part of your team in a way, if you will, and add that value. You know, I used to get really upset early in my career. It's called what I call the auditor paradigm, is you do all this work and then you give it to the decision makers and they don't do anything with it. And I used to get mad at the decision makers. But you know what? It's America. People aren't buying your product. Whose fault is it? It's on the auditor. So I preach a lot to the audit community about being more relevant and having impact. And one of that is auditing the right thing at the right time, looking forward instead of backwards. And I have examples, like later I will share those if you ever want that, but real examples of how you get in front of an issue, an emergent public policy issue, instead of auditing behind and telling people what they already knew or trying to solve problems that have already been solved or unsolvable. And you do that a few ways. You interact with them regularly on the front end of things. You explain the audit process, you get their input, you build relationships, you communicate, you call balls and strikes, but you also have this thing called empathy and understand risk appetite in our government. We know these employees out here are under a lot of duress and they do the best they can. So again, understanding what they can and can't do, and therefore developing audit recommendations that are actually implementable and aren't pie in the sky or too general and actually can action on. And then you write reports that people can understand. Not in a bunch of technicalities and oddities, but in English, in citizen-centric kind of reporting. My prior boss in Denver was an elected auditor. We knew who our constituency was. It was the people. And so we wrote our audits to the people. We have the same situation here under the Secretary of State. So we will layer our reports. We know you people are very busy as legislators, so we want to give you the information at the right dose and the right amount that you can understand it. And then two last points here. We also want to make sure we follow up on our audit work. That's where you show impact. We can put out great recommendations. We can have agencies in here agreeing with them. Mm-hmm. And then what happens? And so if you don't go back and verify on audit grade evidence that those recommendations were implemented, that's really where you see what you're doing and what you're not doing and the value of audit. So we'll do that. And I'd like to do formal reporting out of that and get before this committee with that kind of information on terms of the audit impact at the end of it. And then finally, the last Achilles heel, I think, of the audit profession that we're going to do differently is we measure our own performance. You'll see a lot of performance audits that talk about other agencies not measuring their performance or being critical of their performance measures and things. But auditors don't often measure themselves. And so that's not our case. We're going to be measuring our impact. There's qualitative and quantitative attributes that you can use for that. It's not just return on investment or cost of audit or things like that. Performance audits can actually require additional spending in the right circumstances to save money in the long run and to save risk. So make sure we have a good set of metrics that really box it in. I'll end. I'm rambling on a little bit, but I appreciate your guys' attention to this, and I just want to personally commit to each of you, you know, anything you need from me or my staff in terms of getting you information and being responsive, we will do that. So thank you for having me here today.
Well, thank you for coming. And are there any questions that we'd like to ask? Senator Riley.
Thank you. So I heard in that long list of achievements, government accountability.
Yes.
I chair the Government Accountability Committee, and I'd love to sit and chat with you about your experience in government accountability at some point, if we could arrange that.
Co-chairs, Senator Riley, I would absolutely love to do that. I, as the deputy mentioned, I have served on one national board, and I currently serve on a national board. I'm a very active member of the Intergovernmental Audit Forum, which is sponsored by the GAO and has state and local government auditors nationally. They have regional forums. I speak and participate at that. So I would love to get together with you and talk and actually share resource information if there's other people I can get you linked into that can help answer your questions too. But thank you.
I'll reach
out to you on that.
Senator Devlin?
Just to bring this home a little bit, could you explain a little bit, not going way distant in your past, but what your role was in the Treasurer's office?
Yes. Co-Chair Devlin, I'd be happy to. My friends over at the Treasury think very highly of Treasurer Reed and his staff over there. I took a different role there. I came from the City and County of Denver. That's where I audited the last 10 years and directed that function, which is a pretty broad scope and very similar to the role I play in this position. That was a classic, and I hope I don't bore you with this, but it was an internal audit position, which is another very important. You're familiar with the chief audit executive structure here. Mm-hmm. And so I served in that capacity. This opportunity was just too good to pass up in my career, but I left there in good stead, and I think very highly of that agency. But yeah, I was just there for a very short time.
Other questions? Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
We welcome you to come back anytime you have some free time between usually 1 and 3 every other Tuesday.
I'll be here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So other comments or anything else for the good of the order? We thought we'd take off and go to the floor early so that we can try to get up to six bills. We're going to try six bills here this afternoon.
So will you get all the House bills to the Senate by the Senate deadline to consider House bills?
We're going to do our best, Co-Chair Devlin. We're going to try our best to do what we can. So at this time, then, I would like to adjourn the Audit Committee for May 2nd, and thank you very much.